Now, third party payment for import transaction. Third party payment. Third party payment means supplier is one, buyer is one, but payment is going to the third party. Many times it happens because when the agency arrangement is there, agent may be financing to the supplier, and ultimately after export is happening, he is directing him to make the payment directly to me rather than you take it. Understanding is very clear. Payment of imported goods has to be made, and it has to be made to the person who is supplying the goods. But he instructs to the buyer that I don't want this payment, you make the payment to XYZ. It is permitted. It is permitted under the FEMA. Only thing is that you have to have invoice and the bill of entry. Both should have the name of the third party earlier printed on this invoice as well as the bill of entry. If these names are there, then in that case, you are permitted to make the payment. Okay? And AD Bank should satisfy that the payment where it is going, that country is a FATF compliant. FATF means Financial Action Task Force complied countries. That payment is going to that country. Invariably, the narration or information regarding the third party has to be made on the invoice as well as the bill of entry. His name should be mentioned. If it is not there and last minute changes happen after subject to receipt of the goods here, then in that case, there should be a third party agreement, tripartite agreement. So the third party, original supplier, and the buyer or importer in India has to come together and decide under what circumstances the payment should be made to XYZ party rather than giving it to actual supplier of the goods. So if the names are not there on invoices and the bill of entry, then in that case, tripartite agreement is must. Okay? Then issue of the guarantee by an authorized dealer. In respect of the replacement of the goods which are imported and which are defective in nature, then in that case, the guarantee is permitted to be issued by the AD Bank under the FEMA. AD Bank give a guarantee or letter of undertaking or letter of comfort in respect of any debt, obligation, or the liability that is incurred by the person who is a resident outside India and owed or the person to the resident outside India being an overseas supplier of the goods, bank of the financial institution for import of the goods. In short, in this particular scenario, whatever is mentioned here, an authorized dealer may give a guarantee. Up to this is correct, but letter of undertaking, that is LOU, or letter of comfort, that is LOC, is specifically banned by the Reserve Bank of India. So you should not, any AD bank is prohibited to issue the letter of comfort or letter of undertaking in respect of any guarantee or assurance to be given on behalf of their importer client to the overseas client. They can issue the standby letter of credit or they can issue the guarantee, that much is enough. Therefore, guarantees are permitted to be issued to the extent of underlying transaction, import transaction. AD banks also, in ordinary course of the business, give a guarantee in favor of non-resident service provider on behalf of the resident customer who is a service importer subject to the terms and conditions have been complied with or not, provided the amount of guarantee for the services availed is not exceeding $500,000 or its equivalent. Okay, this limit is also public sector company or Department of Undertaking of Government of India or State Government of State Department of the Government. For them, this limit has brought down to $100,000 and not $500,000. Okay, for general importers of the services, $500,000 for general, and for the government department, it is $100,000 for issue of the guarantee on behalf issue of this guarantee for the purpose of services availed from overseas. AD Bank can permit the person resident in India to issue a corporate guarantee in favor of the overseas lessor or financing import through the operating lease effected in conformity with the foreign trade policy in force. Now, coming down to another aspect of this import guidelines, that is advance remittance. Advance remittance for the import of the goods is permitted to the extent of $200,000, permitted up to $200,000 freely for each transaction for every importer client. Beyond 200,000, up to 500,000, up to 5 million, beyond 200,000, up to 5 million, government says, or RBI says, AD Bank has to obtain the guarantee from the overseas bank which is of international repute, so as to send the advance remittance beyond 200,000, and that guarantee should be well complied with the, all the FEBA guidelines. Now, gap is very big. 200,000 freely guarantee, freely advance remittance can be sent by the importer for buying the goods. But if the transaction itself is up to $5 million, then government says you bring the guarantee from the overseas bank, from the overseas bank of international repute. But unfortunately, this guarantee, he is not in position to obtain the guarantee from the international bank of repute. Then RBI says, respective bank where the importer is banking, that bank should have its own policy which gives the clarity for issuance of the advance remittance, sending advance remittance up to 5 million, provided certain terms and conditions have been complied with. First important condition is the track record and genuineness of the transaction. These two conditions and its relationship with the client. If the bank, AD Bank, is satisfied as per the policy framed by them, which is approved by the board of directors of the bank, then in that case, without insisting for the guarantee from the overseas, up to $5 million, the remittance can be sent. But a third point is, beyond 5 million, invariably guarantee is must from the third country, a third party, or from abroad, which is from issued by the bank from the overseas, and it is of international standard and reputation. Okay? This issue of the guarantee or issue of the advance remittance is also permitted to be issued and noted, covered as an ORM module, that is outward remittance module, which is available in IDPMS, and this IDPMS will take care of outward remittances and follow up for submission of the document for whenever import is made. Okay, then in respect of the sector specific measures, and advance remittance for import of rough diamond is also permitted. In that case, it is stated by the government that the overseas mining company, if there is a recommendation from the JJEPC, that is James and Jewelry Export Promotion Council. If that company who is supplying the diamond to the traders in India and that company is mining company directly supplying, and they are on the list of the JJEPC, that is James and Jewelry Export Promotion Council, then without any selling, advance remittance is permitted to send. Then importer should be a recognized processor of rough diamond and should have good track record. In addition to that, the transaction based commercial judgment of the bank is very, very important. Okay, it is very, very important. And that whenever this advance remittance is sent, genuineness of the transaction, KYC and due diligence, these aspects need to be verified. Advance payment should be made strictly as per the terms of the sale contract and should be made directly to the account of the company concerned, not to any third party. That is prohibited. And that is to ultimate beneficiary is not through the numbered account or otherwise. And AD bank should ensure that they have created outward remittance message, that is ORM, for the advance remittance for import of the rough diamond is made available in IDPMS, that is Import Data Process Management System. Due caution may be exercised to ensuring that remittance is not permitted for the import of conflict diamonds or blood diamond. For that purpose, there is a requirement of obtention of certificate called as Kimberley certification. This certification can be availed online. Okay, KYC due diligence, as always explained, that has to be complied with. In case the importing company is government department, then maximum permissible limit for them to send advance remittance is $100,000. But beyond that, the specific permission from the government department is specifically required. Okay, then bill of entry and all other things, whenever there is a requirement, it can be issued and it can be settled in IDPMS itself. Okay. For the aircraft import or helicopter import or aviation related import of material, for them there is an advance remittance limit is $50 million, because this big bird, they have its value is in crores of rupees, in millions of dollars. So for them, 50 million is maybe a residual, maybe 5-10% of the total cost. So under these circumstances, without asking for any approval, banks are permitted to send for the aviation related expenses, purchase of the aircraft or purchase of the helicopter, $50 million as an advance remittance is permitted to send. Only condition is that the payment should go to the actual company who is providing or purchasing, providing or selling the aircraft or helicopter. Okay, remittance for transaction is also attracting certain terms and conditions also in respect of the taking approval, because it is controlled by Director General of Civil Aviation and Ministry of Civil Aviation. If the Ministry of Civil Aviation has given the permission for import of the aircraft or aviation related import of certain types of material or goods, then Director General of Civil Aviation's permission is not required for sending the $50 million as an advance remittance to the overseas party who is supplying the goods. For that purpose, framing, banks are permitted to have their own internal guidelines, and framing the policy for advance remittance for import sector wise as well as in general also, which is approved by board of director. Okay, in case of public limited companies or the department of the government, bank shall ensure that the requirement of the bank guarantee has been specifically waived by the Ministry of Finance whenever there is an advance remittance is exceeding $100,000. Okay, physical import of the goods into India must be received within 6 months' time. Within 6 months' time and within 3 years' time in respect of the capital goods. Okay, where advance is paid as a milestone payment, the date of the last remittance made in terms of the contract will be recorded as the purpose of the submission of the documentary evidence for import. Prior to making the remittances, bank should ensure that KYC and all other guidelines, as well as Ministry of Civil Aviation, as well as for Director General of Civil Aviation and other agencies, approval should be obtained well before sending the remittances for aviation related remittances. In the event of non-import of the aircraft or helicopter or aviation sector, it should be ensured under the agreement that this money will come back if they are unable to make the payment. And if it is permitted, then it will be considered and it is appropriated towards the future payments to be made into that. So prior approval of the concerned regional office of the Reserve Bank of India would be required in certain cases wherever there is a deviation, that is line, scheduled operating line, non-scheduled aircrafts. So for them, if anything is deviation from this rule stipulated, they have to obtain the regional office, concerned regional office permission. And all the receipts, all the payments which is made as an advance remittance, as usual, as per the practice, including the bill of entry or bill of entry settlement through the respective ORM in IDPMS will be taken into consideration, and there would happen as per the IDPMS guidelines issued by the government. Advance remittance for the import of services. Advance remittance for import of services is permitted to whom? Permitted for the services who are availing the services. For availing the services, if anybody is asking for the advance remittance, maximum permissible amount permitted is $500,000. And for the government department, it is $100,000. And outward remittance, which is sent as an advance remittance for the service related import or import of services, that has to be incorporated and handled through the IDPMS guidelines issued by the government from time to time. Now coming down to another aspects of the import is an interest on import bills. Banks are permitted to handle the payment due to delay in settlement by the importer. Less than 3 years, document can be handled by the bank. Beyond 3 years, if there is any interest rate is stipulated, then at that interest rate, import payment can be made. Interest payment can be made. Generally, the benchmark rate for that currency will be taken into consideration. Currently, when LIBOR was there, that time, at the rate of LIBOR only, import payment interest rate will be permitted to be permitted to send. But due to change in LIBOR, LIBOR will not be considered as a base currency. So whatever the currency and its appropriate reference rate is made available by their respective central bank, that rate will be considered, and accordingly the interest payment can be made, but that is up to 3 years only and not beyond that. In case of change in value, okay, Irrespective, the AD bank should assume the proper remark indicator in IDPMS, because there will be change in value, maybe reduction in invoice value for making the payment, or there may be interest is charged if the commodity is strong in demand. So as per this, the in IDPMS, the all these notations should be made in IDPMS itself. Now, remittance against replacement of the import, that is freely permitted when imported goods are there and they are short supplied, damaged, or short landed, or lost in transit, and exchange control copy of the import license has already been utilized to cover the opening of the letter of credit against the original goods, then in that case it can be cancelled. It can be cancelled with the lost goods, lost in transit, and a guarantee can be issued for supply of the fresh goods, and there is no limit as such. As per the underlying contract only, it should be given by the authorized dealer bank. Insurance claim relating to the lost good has to require to be settled by the importer. This is should be ensured that the consignment being replaced is shipped within the validity period of the license. Under license, whenever there is an import and same goods have been lost or damaged, or any other goods is required to be replaced, though within the validity period of the same licensing period, it has to be concluded. Transaction should be concluded. All the proper remark indicator that is to be extended, that has to be quoted, remark should be mentioned in the remark column in the IDPMS. Okay. In case of replacement of goods for the defective import, then in that case, the overseas supplier, before defective goods are imported earlier, shipped out from India, bank may issue a guarantee at the request of the importer, as I said earlier, for the dispatch or return of the defective goods. Okay. Then import of equipment BPO for the purpose of BPO companies, that is business process outsourcing companies, for their overseas sites. Banks may allow the BPO companies in India to make the remittances towards the cost of the equipment to be imported and installed at their overseas site, not in India. So it becomes third party. Okay. For that purpose, for the purpose of international call center, such kind of import is required to be maintained. Being a parent company in India, they have offices in some other countries, and purchases from the third country, goods can go up to that, or machinery can go into that country, but payment can be made through the India. Okay, the BPO company should have obtained the necessary approval from Ministry of Communication and Information Technology, and also setting up of international call center. They are into the process, if they are into process of setting up of international call center. Okay, then the remittance should be allowed based on the AD category bank's commercial judgment and bona fides of the transaction, and strictly in terms of the contract. Remittance made directly to the account of the overseas supplier, and the bank should also obtain the certificate of evidence of import from the chief executive officer, that is CEO or auditor of the importer company, when the goods for which the remittances were made have actually been imported and installed at the overseas site. Because there is no bill of entry as such for that purpose, CEOs or statutory auditor certificate is permitted to be obtained when the goods are going to the third country, and it is purchased from the third country when the goods are not reaching to the country. Now let us understand what is the receipt, manner in which how the import bills and documents are received by the importers. Now there are three categories particularly. Receipt of import document by the importer directly from the overseas supplier. So it means after the goods have been supplied, overseas supplier send document directly to the importer or buyer without involving the bank. That is permitted, but to the extent of what? To the extent of only $300,000, not beyond that. And the company, beyond that, this limit is not applicable to the companies which are wholly owned subsidiary, Indian subsidiary of the foreign trade companies. Then, importer bill received, import bills received from the status holder exporter, public sector undertaking, then limited companies. For them, this $300,000 limit is not applicable. Only other than that, those who are undertaking directly receipt of the document, for them this limit is applicable. However, the import bill received by all the limited companies, that is public limited, deemed a public limited company and private limited companies. Okay. Bank, now another aspect is receipt of import document by the importer directly from the overseas supplier in case of specified sector. Now specified sector means there are only few sectors, that is diamond, aviation. So diamond, particularly diamond sector, they are also permitted in respect of the status holder and non-status holder importers. The maximum permissible amount of the bill which is received by them should not exceed $300,000 for the rough diamond, rough precious and semi-precious stones that has been received import bill document directly from the overseas supplier, and documentary evidence for import is submitted by the importer at the time of remittances. Status holder importers dealing in import of rough diamonds, for them there is also no change in the selling. For them also, status holder exporters, they have no selling applicable, that is 300,000 selling is not at all applicable, and they can directly receive the document from the overseas supplier. The importer would be a subject to prevailing foreign trade policy. Import should be as per the foreign trade policy. Transactions are based on their commercial judgment, and KYC and due diligence has to be complied with. Before extending the facility, they should also obtain report on overseas supplier through the bankers or reputed credit rating agencies such as Dun & Bradstreet and all. Okay. Now, second type of receipt of the document is receipt of the import document by AD Category 1 bank directly from the overseas supplier. Generally, documents received by the banks are routed through some other banks. But here the case is, it is directly supplied by the overseas supplier, documents sent to the bank directly. Generally, this is an exception, but that is permitted only to the importer which is a very high value importer client. Okay. And provided that bank have a prior arrangement, AD bank should have prior arrangement of receipt of such a document from the overseas party, and that agreement should be executed with the importer in India. Okay, bona fides of the transaction is the most important. So, receipt report on the overseas supplier has to be obtained. And that should be in place, and it should be live, it should not be very old. And the amount of the document which is received should not exceed $300,000 or equivalent. With this, we complete our import trade guidelines. Thank you very much.